Is the first in our series of 50 Baptists You Should Know. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the people known as the Waldenses. I mentioned them last week as I introduced this, but I think that the best place to start maybe would be when, after Jesus went back to heaven, of course, and the disciples began to obey the Great Commission, New Testament Christians would be spread all over the known world. And our Baptist forefathers were simply Christians who wished to worship God and raise their families according to the Bible and really live their life in as much normalcy as possible. However, in Italy, as the Roman Catholic Church grew and became more corrupt, churches that didn't follow them became a real threat to the system. These dissenting churches were eventually so persecuted that these true Christians moved north in Italy up into what is the Italian Alps, and lived in the lower valleys there. They lived for a short time in relative obscurity. They were just worshiping God and raising and training their children. This group, though, became a very powerful resistance movement as they quietly taught the Bible and they began to educate people about the corrupt church and the errors of the Roman Church. They were known for taking great pains to protect the teachings of Jesus. They had the Bible in their own language, and they very carefully copied the Bible, as we'll see here in just a minute. And they used those copies for distribution throughout their churches there in the valleys, and then later as they would spread across Europe. They weren't reformers. I want to make that very clear. They weren't reformers. They were never in the Catholic Church. They had resisted the advances of the church from the very outset. They never were a part. They championed themselves really as the curators of biblical truth, and they knew they were in a time of great spiritual darkness, and really we call that appropriately the Dark Ages, that time. But for this, they would pay dearly, and they would be slaughtered by the thousands. They would be relegated to living in caves in the Alpine wilderness. And here they got their name, a name that was given to them, Waldenses, the valley, the people of the valley. Eventually, that would become the Waldenses. And really, they flourished even in those caves and in those valleys and really worshiped God with freedom of conscience and raised their families there. So these dear Christians, they dated back to, for sure, the 9th century, and some historians can find evidence of them even in the 7th century. In 1215, the Waldenses had written a statement of faith, and it was officially rejected by the church in 1215, by the Church of Rome. And here's a little bit of what they believe. They wrote down some of their beliefs. These are some of the things we have left. And some of this was written down by the Catholic priests that were ordered to go find out what they believed, you know, so they could begin to persecute them. They rejected the Roman Church. They believed it to be the whore of Babylon, as in Revelation. They rejected infant baptism because they said babies can't believe. Purgatory was a fable. The Bible teaches that the dead either go to heaven or hell. That holy water was no different than rainwater. Their relics were simply rotten bones, and that no one knew who they really belonged to. Prayer in a barn was just as effective as prayer in a church. They did not believe in prayers to the dead. They didn't believe in transubstantiation. They just rejected everything that the Roman Catholic taught, that Catholics taught in error. They rejected the confession of sins to a priest, believing sins should be confessed only to God. And if you notice, most of these things are taking power from the Catholic Church, because the Roman Church was all about consolidating power, controlling every aspect of a human's life, a person's life, and this was a great threat and could not be tolerated. So they were persecuted there in those lower valleys. The Waldensians moved higher into the mountains, not to be hermits at all, but to train their children and to live as pure lives as they could, as the Bible taught. And then they began to train missionaries also. And they felt, of course, that they were on borrowed time, and they really were. So then I think the next picture I'll show you is they began to build colleges, and they called this the College of the Barbs, Barbs being a name for preachers. And so the College of the Barbs, I have a couple pictures of that. And this is one of many of what would have been numerous schools throughout the valleys. And you can see the buildings here. In these rooms, among other things, were very large tables where they were used for copying the Bible. And the students would copy the scripture as they carefully tried to preserve everything that Jesus taught in the Bible and preserve the scripture for themselves and for the future. They had the scripture in their own language, as I mentioned, and they very carefully copied as many times as they could. And then, after they trained their students, they would send these students all over Europe into the major universities in Paris and Prague and Rome and these different places where these students would study a discipline, but they would be undercover missionaries. And they would carefully witness and give out scriptures. In fact, they would undo their coats, and they would stick scripture in between the two folds of their coats, and they would travel like that. They would sew that back up, and then they would come across someone in their trade as they helped. Maybe they were cobblers, or they were, you know, lawyers or whatever. If someone was interested, then they would take that apart and give pages of scripture to these people that might be saved, that were interested in learning more and that could be saved. And of course, this is very dangerous because if at the very least it would be imprisonment and probably death if they were caught doing this, as it was illegal all across Europe. But they would send out these missionaries who were craftsmen and artisans, and they would take the Bible and give people these sheets as they traveled across Europe. So these people were persecuted for better part of 1,000 years. In 1665, the Roman Church had finally had enough. And the Pope gave orders to the Duke of Savoy to give the Waldenses in the lower valleys one final, really terrible choice. They said, either attend the Catholic Mass or move out of the valley in 3 days. Rather than obey what they knew to be against Scripture, 2,000 of the Waldenses made a journey in the dead of winter in January across, you know, frozen streams and up into the mountains, across, you know, snow-filled valleys, up into these ice-covered mountains, where they were welcomed by believers that were already there, Waldenses that had already moved higher. There was a short time of calm, but then in April, the Duke sent his army into the upper valleys, and at 4 a.m. on April 24th, 1665, the massacre began. I can't and won't describe in public the horrors of that massacre. They were not content. These soldiers and monks were not content just to kill their victims. They wanted to inflict as much pain as possible. Everyone was slaughtered. Babies were cut in half. Just terrible slaughter. And the parents were forced to watch their children be tortured to death before they themselves were tortured and killed. Hundreds of the Waldensians fled into what was a valley that they knew. They had a cave that they could hide in, a very large cave, and it was in the bowels of Mount Castelluzzo. And these soldiers, though, with murder on their mind, found them there, and then they marched them to the top and hurled them off the cliffs into the valley below. This massacre shocked all of Europe. Just a terrible thing. There were some survivors. They rallied together. They wrote to Christians in Europe for help. These letters contained this phrase, one phrase that was just heartrending, was, "Our tears are no longer of water, they are of blood. They do not merely obscure our sight, but they choke our very hearts." And so Europe responded to this. Even Oliver Cromwell in Europe, when he heard the news of this massacre, he called for a national day of fasting and prayer, and he collected money to send to the people that had remained. But we want to thank the Lord this morning for this people and their testimony and courage. These early Baptists who would face death, and they did face death and went to their deaths rather than not follow the Bible. And I want to thank the Lord for them this morning and their memory this morning. I have a book that I would recommend for anybody that's interested in reading more. This book was written about 100 years ago, J.A. Wiley. It's available. I'll have it available in the bookstore. Very, very inexpensive book, but tells the story of the Waldensians. And and how they believed. And we can trace our Baptistic roots back to these dear people, and tells the story of the massacre. And just and as difficult as that story is to read, some may find that interesting. So I want to recommend that this morning. It'll be in the bookstore. And again, this morning I want to thank the Lord for the memory of these dear people and their courage.